ancient word it is. But it's also a sacred word, and I'm mindful of the word from 2 Timothy chapter 3 where we read these words. You, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learnt them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. What a fantastic book we have, inspired of God and preserved by Him. May it be our joy to read it, delight in it, the sacred and ancient words of our God. Also, I just want to say it's good to see Trevor's mum here. So nice to have her along. And also Warren and Laura, we're praying for you, and our condolences go to you as we think of your dad's passing, though we rejoice that he's gone home to be with the Lord. And last Monday in this place, it was really, really full. We had a fantastic service where we commemorated but also gave thanks to God for the life of Billy. And I know many from the Bassanine community would have been here. And it's wonderful to share her hope, our hope in Jesus, with all the people who came. Well, let's come now before God in prayer. Dear Father, thank you for your sacred word, your ancient word that is still preserved and relevant for us until the end of time. It's going to keep on going. We thank you for keeping it for us and allowing our country to have access to your word. We thank you for how these words bring life as we trust in the living word, Jesus. We thank you for your Holy Spirit who has inspired these words and is the true teacher in helping us understand your word. And we look to you that you, by your Spirit, would help us this morning to understand these words that we look at today. We know all of Scripture is inspired of you, but we thank you for this very particular passage that we're going to look at today. So we ask that you'd help us and guide us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, motherhood. I know not all women experience this wonderful and privileged position. And I know that's because there's choices sometimes that are made, or circumstances or calamities that occur. But for all those who have been able to be mothers, it is a wonderful thing to be a mother. Reading from Proverbs 30, 18 and 19, it says there, there are three things which are too wonderful for me, four which I do not understand. Well, I was just reading through Proverbs 30, 18 and 19. It says there, there are three things which are too wonderful for me, four which I do not understand. The way of an eagle in the sky, the way of a serpent on a rock, the way of a sailing ship in the middle of the sea, and the way of a man with a maiden. And you know what? As I think about that list, I reckon we could add to that list wonderful things. And you know what I would put there? The birth of a baby and motherhood. It is a wonder. What a wonder it is. Consider the wonder of a little life forming in our mother's womb. We had read to us from 139 those great words where it says in 13 and 14 of 139, "For you form my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made." Wow, what a wonder. In a mother's womb, a little baby is being made by God, knitted together. That's an incredible thing. Or consider the wonder of childbirth. I know there's the pain and the anguish. But the joy of a little life coming forth, a little life that you can hold and just glory in. What a wonder that is. I know recently for Colin and I, what a joy and wonder it was to hold our latest grandchild. A little boy, which for us is quite amazing because it's normally been girls. Zachary is now 4 weeks old, but I remember just holding his little baby in our arms. And of course, there is the wonder when a baby is born, all these incredible things that happen. They go through a whole lot and then they're born, and just to think of all the things that happen, their lungs start working. How about that, eh? What a wonder. And not only that, I don't know if you're aware that in the circulatory system, there's all these incredible things happening, opening and closing of valves so that the baby no longer relies on the umbilical cord, but its own liver and lungs and heart that go in full operation. But all these things are happening inside. What a wonder. I think some of us don't realise this. And then there is the wonder of motherhood itself. The wonder of a mother's love and care, isn't there? What an incredible bond occurs as a mother sees that little baby that's been developing inside her. Such a bond develops, such love and care that often you hear how a mother is prepared to even give up her life for her child. And I know other mothers who have, because of their circumstances, contemplated the idea of adopting their child once it's born, but they couldn't. So strong is that bond of motherhood. Motherhood is truly a wonder indeed. And for us humans, motherhood is not just for a short time, is it? It's for a long time. I think of some of the creatures that God has made in the book of Job and also just scientifically. We know that there's some mothers that aren't too good. I think of the ostrich mother. She just lays her eggs in the sand and that's it. She's off. She relies on the warm sand to hatch them. And then the dead ostrich has to look after the chicks. Bit forgetful. That's in Job. But then what about this? I think of the giraffe, the female giraffe. She gives birth to her little one by still standing. Do you know what that looks like? That means from a 5 to 6 foot height, this baby comes flying out onto the ground in a sack. Not only that, when the baby finally works its way out of the sack, it gets kicked over. Every time it stands up, it gets kicked over. And again, because the mother is helping the baby to grow strong in its legs. And then for about 9 months, it suckles off its mother. And then that's it. It's off into the wild. And the wild being Africa, I don't know about that. But you know, when it comes to humans, how different it is. Our mothers are to be mothering their children at least up to 18 years, but I reckon it's more than that. It's a lifetime. God has given us such a huge job if you're a mother. What do you think? You're in it for the long haul. But you know, let me ask you, what is the mother's most important role? What's the mother's most important role? To help her child grow strong and healthy? To help her child become moral and respectful? To help her child have a good education and to get a good job? They're all good things, aren't they? But the most important thing of all for a mother is to help her child come to love Jesus, to come to know him, to come to be right with God, to have the gift of eternal life. Now, most mothers don't do that. They have no idea about that because they don't know God themselves. That's true. They have no idea about the main task that God has given them to do. But if you do know God as a mother, if you've come to believe and trust in Jesus, then you should know that the greatest thing for you to do is to nurture your children in the faith. Just like Matt and Tash dedicated themselves to do that. For after all said and done, I know this is very true for Colin and I, we want our children to be with us in glory. We do not want to be eternally separated from any of them. We want them to be with us around the throne, praising God forever and ever. The most important task of a mother is to have, in the words of Romans 10:15, beautiful feet. Beautiful feet that go even out of their way to do all they can to teach and show Jesus to their kids. Beautiful feet that bring good news, the gospel of our Lord Jesus, to our children so that they might repent of their sins and receive Jesus as their Lord and Saviour and thereby be rescued from the consequences of their sin and be reconciled to God our Father. That's our greatest task by far. Do you have beautiful feet? Beautiful feet, as it says in Romans 10:15, it says, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. It's not just for mothers, is it? It's for Christian fathers to do as well. We ought to be setting the example. And it's not just for Christian fathers. Every one of us who've come to love and trust in Jesus, it is for us to have beautiful feet. I love that phrase. We are to have beautiful feet. That is to say, we are to be those who carry the message of Jesus to those about us, sharing the good news of the good things in the gospel with the people around us. Now, so far in our section through Romans, we've been going through Romans 9 and 10, and we have seen the call of God, God calling and choosing us to salvation. We have seen our need to call on Jesus to save us personally. And in this last section in Romans 10, we're going to see our need to call others to Jesus. God wants to use us to call others to know him and love him. This morning, we're going to particularly look at Romans 10, 14 to 21. And as we do, I trust we're going to see some great things that will help us in being God's ambassadors in letting people know about Jesus. Okay, well, let's start. And the first thing I'd like us to say to you all is that we need, in order to have beautiful feet, we need to be proclaimers. We need to be proclaimers. Why is that? Well, it's mentioned in verse 14, but before I get to Romans 10, 14, what does it say in verse 13? Whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Not maybe, will be saved. So people have a need to call on Jesus. I trust you've done that. Just by prayer, calling on Jesus to save me, a sinner. Also, earlier on in verses 9 and 10, we read these words. If you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. So besides calling on the Lord, we need to believe in our heart who Jesus is, and we need to confess him with our mouth that he is Lord and Saviour. Well, as we saw last week when we're going through that section, we need to be convinced about who Jesus is, God's Son and our risen Saviour. We need to confess with our mouth that he's Lord and Saviour, and we need to call on him to be saved. This is what we must do. Isn't that true? But Paul says in Romans 10:14, how can anyone do that unless they hear of Jesus? Let's read Romans 10:14. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? How will they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? That's exactly right. Unless we are proclaimers, proclaiming the good news of Jesus, there's no way that anybody can call on Jesus to be saved. No one can believe on Jesus. No one can become a Christian unless they hear about Jesus. And there's an emphasis upon all those who are saved that we be those who proclaim. And when it says that we are to be proclaimers, or it says here that we are to be preachers, it's not saying that we're to bring people to the minister of the church so that he can tell them about Jesus. Or it's not implying there that we have to go to a Bible college and learn how to be a preacher. It simply means we speak. Every Christian gets to speak and teach about what we know about Jesus and how we need to believe on him to be saved. Every Christian is to do this. Every Christian is to go. And the wonderful metaphor is that we are to be those with beautiful feet. We're to be those who do go. Mothers need to go to their children. Fathers need to go to their children. We all need to go to the people in our life who need Jesus. How we need to go. And in verse 17, it's repeated. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. Faith comes from hearing, it says. So people need to hear. And how are they going to hear unless someone brings them the word of Christ? So do you have beautiful feet? Mothers, to your children, do you go? Perhaps it's in their bedroom. You go and you share with them the gospel. It's not just the gospel either, about Jesus dying and rising again. You're meant to share with them from this great book, the Bible, about God, his incredible character and being. You get to do this. Mothers, that's what you're meant to be doing. You're meant to share about Jesus. Not only did he die on the cross, but his heart, his glory, his wonder. You ought to make your kids just love Jesus, as well as to understand what he's done for us in order to make us his children. We need fathers, not just mothers. I know it's Mother's Day, but fathers, that's what we need to be doing too. Mothers and fathers together need to be praying for their children. We need to be proclaimers, all of us together, whether a mother or father or not. It's for all of us to do, to be proclaimers, having beautiful feet. And what a verse that is. Just reading verse 15 again. How will they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. What good news we have. In a world that is fallen, a world that is broken, we have been given good news. Isn't it good news? How do you feel about the message of Jesus? What good news it is to know that God loves us. What good news it is that God loves us though we have rebelled against him. What good news it is that Jesus bore our sin to save us. What good news it is that God is willing to forgive us of all our sins and grant us eternal life through faith in Jesus. What good news! And we get the joy of declaring that good news. How we are to be proclaimers. But in going and telling others of Jesus, being proclaimers, we need to be prepared for something. What do we need to be prepared for? In Romans 10, verse 16, we read these words. However, they did not all heed the good news. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? What do we need to be prepared for? We need to be prepared for this. Though the good news is so great, though the good things it speaks of is so awesome, many people do not respond. Many people do not heed. That verse 16 is quoted from Isaiah 53, verse 1. In Isaiah 53, verses 5 and 6, we have those magnificent words concerning Jesus. It says of him that he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastisement that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, but the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. That is just gold to hear that. This truth of what God has done for us in Christ. But the very beginning of that chapter, it says, who has believed our message? It's like God and Isaiah are talking together. Who has believed our message? To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? What's the implied answer? Very few. Very few. That was the case in Israel's history. Though Israel had so many privileges, though they were given the law of God, though they saw God do great wonders, though they had the temple of God, they saw the glory of God, they saw all these things. These people, they rejected God. And when Jesus came, they rejected him too. Many, many people of Israel did not believe. They did not believe God and they did not believe in his son Jesus when he came. And we're reminded of that here in verse 16. However, they did not all heed the good news, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? And friends, as I think about Mother's Day, I think of how mothers and fathers, how we need to be aware that not all our children come to love Jesus. And we need to be prepared for that. I know it's really hard to say that, but that's how it is. God is a gentleman. And what I mean by that, he gives us the choice to make. And we need to be prepared that there's no guarantee, no matter how good we are as parents, no matter what we do for them, no matter how much we pray for them, we need to be prepared that not all come to believe in Jesus. That's heart-wrenching. It's one of the great concerns we had when we had children, for Colin and I, that we would do everything we can knowing that our children will make their choice themselves, and how we need to be aware of that. But even though we need to be prepared that our children may not come to know Jesus, including those people that we witness to, we're never to give up. We're never to give up. We can be positive. And we see this in the example of Israel. Israel was so rebellious to God. Israel rejected Jesus. We have those words in John chapter 1, 10 and 11. It says, Jesus was in the world, and though the world was made through him, The world did not know him. He came to his own, that's the Jewish people, but those who were his own did not receive him. They were the ones who encouraged the Romans to crucify Jesus. But God has his ways of getting our attention. God has his ways of bringing us to hear about him and turn back to him. Do you know that? That's why we can be positive. And in fact, that's how I read Romans 10, 18 to 20. Let's read that together. But I say, surely they, that's in this context here, the Israelites, they have never heard, have they? Yes, indeed they have. Their voice has gone out into all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. But I say, surely Israel did not know, did they? First Moses says, I will make you jealous by that which is not a nation. By a nation without understanding will I anger you. And Isaiah is very bold and says, I was found by those who did not seek me. I became manifest to those who did not ask for me. What are these words about? Well, when I look at it, I can't help but see, even though Israel, this is the example given here, they're a sad example, even though they had rejected God, it tells us here that God doesn't give up. We can be positive. He's always got creation to continue to testify about his reality. That's verse 18. That's quoted from Psalm 19. Psalm 19, verse 4. And what does Psalm 19, verse 1 say? The heavens declare the glory of God. I love it. How God, you know, we might reject God, but he's still there. And he still reveals his glory. Praise be to God. Not only that, but in Israel's case, God provoked them. He had made them have consternation because they saw other people, even us Gentiles, coming to faith in Jesus to make them feel jealous and upset. And God can do that. He can use all sorts of situations to stir the heart, to bring us back to where we should be, to come to know God. And he can use crises and circumstances and all sorts of things to get our attention that we might submit ourselves to him and hear him and then respond to him through Jesus. What a God! You know, I can't help but bring this into parenting. Mothers today and fathers, I think of how you're to do your best in helping your children know Jesus. And they may drift off and they may reject Christ and you will shed many tears about that. But don't give up. Be positive. God can do amazing things. Maybe through creation or consternation, maybe through crisis or catastrophe, God is able to bring them under the sound of the gospel again. And because you can be positive, because God's in control, you can pray. And it's good to learn to pray wisely. Say your children have rejected Jesus and they're going astray. You can pray. Pray for them every day. Pray that God will bring into their life someone who's going to share Jesus with them, because they won't hear it from you anymore. Guess what we ought to do? Be positive. Pray. Pray for your children. And the very last thing I want to share from this passage is verse 21, which has already been spoken of. And I look at this verse. Let me read it out to you. But as for Israel, God says, all the day long I have stretched out my hands to a disobedient and obstinate people. And I look at that and I can't help but think of one thing. What an example God is to us. He is so patient. Be patient. Be patient. Look at God. What an example he is to us. He has seen Israel's rebellions. He knows that they have been disobedient and obstinate. That means stubborn. Like it's plain to see. And they will not believe. You read through the book of Jeremiah, they say that. We will not believe. They come to the day of Jesus. We will not believe. They are so strong-willed, so stubborn. Our children can be the same, but learn from God. Have patience. He stretches out his hands to his people over the centuries, and he continues to stretch out his hands to the people of old, Israel. And we are to be stretching out our hands to our children no matter what, to love them no matter what, to be patient with them, praying all along that they might become God's children too. What an amazing example we have in the Lord. And you know, as we shall see next week, God willing, in Romans 11, one day Israel is going to be saved. This people who God chose in the Old Testament period, this people will come to know Jesus. the whole nation will embrace Jesus. All because of God's patience and God's faithfulness, as we shall see. May we be patient too and faithful to God in prayer, and may we have the joy of seeing our children come to love Jesus too. It is our greatest privilege to know God, and after coming to know God through faith in Jesus, it is our greatest privilege to have beautiful feet. We can have beautiful hands to care for people. We can have beautiful heart to love people, even our own children, but we are to have beautiful feet to bring them the good news of Jesus, both in word and in our life, so that our children might come to love Jesus too. That is the most important thing of all. It's most important that you be saved, and it's most important that you do everything you can to save those around you as well. Amen. Our Father, thank you for how, as we look at this passage here, we can see very clearly that there is a responsibility that comes upon us if we have come to love you and trust in you, to be those who have beautiful feet, who go and tell others of Jesus, not in a bad way, not in a harsh way, not in a way that where we are showing ourselves to be self-righteous, but we do it humbly. We do it as sinners who have been saved by grace. We are to do it with respect. Help us to do it really well. May the message of Jesus also be seen from a life that's been transformed by Jesus. Lord, help us to have a heart for the lost, though. Help us to remember, unless they hear, people will perish. Please would you give us beautiful feet to go. And today I particularly ask for all mothers here. Lord, if they love you and know you, help them in the busyness of life to do the most important thing of all, and that is to teach their children about Jesus, about you, about your wonder and what you've done for us. Please would you help them to do a really good job. And may we have the joy, even if our children should reject you, your son, for a time, may we have the joy of seeing them come to love Jesus too. Help us to persist. Help us to be patient. Help us to be praying, that we might have the joy of seeing our children saved. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.